I'm Dusty Rhodes reporting for the Education Desk. Ted Harrison is proud that his son Malik plays football for Eastern Illinois University on a full scholarship. But ask Harrison about his son's history of concussions, and he's not sure he knows the exact number. He thinks the first one occurred during a practice early in Malik's playing career at Springfield High School.
We were alerted by Malik. Malik told us. Practice was after school, and I think what happened was he went to school the next day, and then he had kind of a blackout episode.
Harrison's wife, Gwen, has a more vivid memory.
He suffered one in practice, and he thought he had a concussion, but he wasn't quite sure. But it wasn't until he blacked out on the stairs. He would have fallen on the stairs if his classmates had not caught him. That's how bad it was.
That's also a snapshot of how most athletes, coaches, and parents regarded concussions as recently as 5 years ago. But thanks to retired NFL players and other athletes raising awareness of the long-term effects of concussions, 49 states have adopted laws requiring school districts to implement strict protocols for handling head injuries at sporting events. In fact, under a new law signed earlier this week by Governor Bruce Rauner, Malik Harrison probably wouldn't have been at school the day he blacked out on the stairs.
And the new part of this law that's interesting is there's return to play information, not only for whether you can physically go and go to practice and play, but also whether you can attend school.
That was Springfield School District Superintendent Jennifer Gill explaining the legislation to board members at their regular meeting this week. The new law requires schools to establish concussion oversight teams to draw up medically sound processes to determine when and how concussed athletes can rejoin their teammates on the field and their classmates inside school. These protocols are called return to play and return to learn.
Because it affects not only your ability to be able to be physical, but also to be able to attend academically as well.
In recognition of the fact that concussions can happen in any sport, the law spells out a long list, including golf, tennis, skating, swimming, diving, water polo, marching band, and even ultimate frisbee. But of course, it's football, the sport where guys line up and plow into each other, that's normally associated with concussions. Aaron Coons, coach of the Williamsville Bullets, the team that came this close to winning the state 3A championship last year, says he has seen an upsurge in concussions since he graduated from high school in 1993.
In all honesty, in the years I played, I only remember one person that ever had a concussion that was diagnosed with a concussion or came out of a game or. So it was a lot different. So it wasn't talked about very much because we didn't have any really.
Okay, so you've seen more as a coach than you saw as a player.
Oh, no question. Yeah, no, not even close. Especially in the last 5 years, I would say it's been even more, more than it had been before.
So why do you think that is?
Well, I think. Partly it's due to just the physicality of the games changed. I mean, back when we played, weightlifting wasn't a big deal. I think that we lifted here and there, but we didn't lift like we do now. We didn't lift year round. I think everybody's just faster and stronger now. And I also think the light of exactly what it is has come out. And I think people are just more aware. And if they do have multiple symptoms, then they are more aware and they let us know.
Those symptoms can include dizziness, headache, nausea, blurred vision, memory loss, sensitivity to light or noise, and ringing in the ears. Losing consciousness, as Malik Harrison did at school, signals a grade 3 concussion. His father, Ted Harrison, was, like Coons, a football coach who had played in high school. Only Harrison played in the 1970s, about 15 years before Coons. But like Coons, Ted Harrison has no recollection of anyone sustaining a concussion.
We wouldn't even classify him as concussion. You just got your bell rung. That was the term back in the day. You got your bell rung. And if you saw double or you got headaches or things like that, or it was sensitivity to light, it was just because you got your bell rung.
That phraseology is pretty accurate. When your head gets hit hard enough that your brain sloshes around, bumping against your skull like the clapper inside a bell, then you've probably experienced a concussion. The traditional treatment in the 1970s was simply to get back into the game as soon as possible.
I know that the first time that I probably had a concussion, I did go back in the game after I stopped seeing double. So I went back. And, you know, when you talk about pride, I think the thing back then when we were coming up was you just manned up. You know what I mean? You just manned up. You didn't let something like that. We didn't think anything like that was something that was supposed to stop us because we didn't know any better. The only thing that we knew is we were young men. We manned up. We were macho, and we were going to go out there and we're going to win or, you know, die trying, that kind of thing.
The new law specifies that an athlete who appears to have suffered a concussion can be immediately removed from the playing or practice field by the coach, an official, a doctor, the student's parents or a legal guardian, or the student himself. Getting back on the active list requires written permission from a doctor or athletic trainer, as well as the student's parents. And remember, under the new law, these permissions are needed to return to the classroom as well. Scanning Illinois' new law, Harrison shrugs off the fact that he himself played football without such protective policies. But viewing them through the lens of fatherhood as Malik's dad, that's a different matter.
Guys, as I read the constituents of that policy, there are a lot of safeguards, it looks to me, that they have put in that policy, that particular policy that weren't in effect during the time he was playing football.
That hard hit at high school practice was just the beginning.
I would say Malik's had at least three concussions. First one was in practice, then he had another one at a playoff game, and then the third one was in a practice in college.
The second concussion was the only one his parents witnessed, but they can't say exactly how it happened. That playoff game was a lopsided loss, and Malik was playing both offense and defense and getting pounded on every play. Gwen Harrison is afraid three is a low estimate.
Malik, what I think, would know that he was hurt, but because he was such a player and so competitive, he did not like to sound the alert. So there's probably been more concussions than we've been made aware of, to be quite frank with you. But he's been healthy and so strong, he's been able to just get through it.
Right now Malik's doing well. But if Malik has one more concussion, his football career is over.
Whose rule is that?
That was stated to him by a physician. They said, that's enough.
For the Education Desk, I'm Dusty Rhodes.